With populations already spread throughout Queensland, the Northern Territory and parts of Western Australia, the cane toad is now encroaching on New South Wales. Scientists used to think the toad would stop when it reached more temperate places, but it is more adaptable to different climates than previously thought. South Australia is now on alert. However, there is some promising work being done to halt the march of the toads, including the work of Frogwatch in the Northern Territory. I spoke with Graham Sawyer from Frogwatch about their results.
Well, there's three actual elements we use in the cane toad control work we're doing. One is the traps. The other is what we call hand collection or toad busting, where people go out picking up toads. And the third one is fencing, exclusion fences and deflection fences, which we use to shut off cane toad corridors and push them into areas where we can get rid of them.
Do you think biological control has some major safety issues?
Yeah, look, I mean, biological controls are always really, really difficult. There's a huge amount of research needs to be done to find one that'll work and won't affect other animals. And, I mean, there's all sorts of other elements of that which are going to take a lot of time, but there's also the risk that once you've let it go, it changes into something else or has an unforeseen consequence. So,
and do you think you've been successful in at least partially stopping the spread of cane toads in the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, the two things we've done really, I mean, one's been the project around Darwin where mainly community effort, but trapping and fencing as well, has stopped cane toads from overrunning Darwin. Like if you go, Darwin's had toads now for, this is its third wet season, so you'd be very hard pressed to drive around the streets of Darwin at night and find a cane toad. Once you get outside of Darwin into the bush though, they're in their multiple thousands. Out in the bush on a broader scale, we've done a couple of projects which have shown that you can impact cane toads on a fairly large scale. The Stop the Toad Foundation from Western Australia has worked with us on a big project over near Timber Creek in the Northern Territory. And in October 2006, during their Great Toad Muster, as it's called, we got 50,000 cane toads in 6 weeks. And then in the follow-up in that area this year, there was only 12,000 toads in the same area. So what we're hoping is that by doing the sort of thing that we've done, we've disrupted their breeding cycle severely.
What is the impact that cane toads have on native species and indigenous populations who rely on native species for food?
Yeah, look, it's devastating. I mean, they're one of the major food items for protein and stuff in Arnhem Land, and across the top there is the big goanna, Varanus panoptes, or the yellow-spotted monitor. They're up to 2 metres long. They're a very big goanna, and they're a really popular food item with Aboriginal people. Also the sand goanna and the water goanna. All three of those species have been really hammered by cane toads. In fact, it's beginning to look a bit like Varanus panoptes might be being completely wiped out by cane toads. That level has quite a big impact. There's a whole range of other animals that are impacted as well, which aren't probably food items so much, but they're certainly being wiped out by toads.
Visiting research fellow at Adelaide University School of Earth and Environmental Sciences, Michael Tyler, is working on new research in the fight against the spread of the toads.
I've been looking at what are called pheromones, which are chemical communication agents, and I'm looking currently at the university at ways in which these might be manipulated to control the species, to make it move from one place to another, or to repel it from particular areas. It's all, new stuff.
And there's been some evidence that the cane toad is more adaptable than was previously thought in terms of adapting to climate.
Yes.
What does this mean for the rest of Australia?
I think people have not recognised the adaptability of the species. We've known for a long period of time that it could survive in areas which experience sub-zero temperatures for 2 or 3 days a year. I mean, it's a very, very hardy species. And unfortunately, this aspect of its capacity has not been recognised.
There was a recent case of the stowaway cane toad that made its way to Mawson Lakes in South Australia recently, and it sparked a bit of panic. But in reality, how soon could the cane toads make their way to South Australia?
Well, you know, we get them from time to time. One turned up at Victor Harbour in a car park about 6 or 7 years ago, one turned up in one of the closer suburbs. This happens from time to time, and these, as you indicate, are stowaways. And to have one stowaway doesn't matter a cracker. It's when you get two or three stowaways that come down and would breed in South Australian conditions. And there's no doubt in my mind that that the environment in South Australia is perfectly satisfactory for this species to survive and to breed.
Overall, do you think the problem of the cane toad, do you think that is one that can eventually be solved?
That's a very difficult question. I've always felt that if there was enough research money made available, that we ought to be able to find a way to control it. But we have to compete, those of us who are involved in cane toad control, with control money that's being put into looking after, getting rid of goats and getting rid of donkeys and all sorts of other feral species. So the cane toad has to take its place within this large number of other feral creatures. However, the release of one at Mawson Lakes has made people realise that the cane toad is very much, if you like, on our doorstep, and we need to take it very seriously.